on our end, but we're here and it's beautiful, and we got a great show for today as myself, Troy Olson, and Jeff Herr take you around the local sports of Kansas City today. We're going to stick just to the local area today. Last show we did a little bit more of a national base, talked about the top 25 and of course, all of the NFL. Today we're going to stay a little tighter, closer to home, and bring you all the local teams a little more in-depth, and we'll see where we go from there. The show's still in its infancy. We'll figure out where it's going to be.
Did we lose Troy? We might have lost Troy here for a second. To continue with what he's saying, I don't even know if this is recording.
So first, let's start off by saying hello to my co-host. How are you?
Okay, sorry, I'm having a little difficulties today, but I am doing fantastic, despite the way our sports teams have gone here recently. Things, I'm feeling good today. Maybe it'll be a better weekend. Probably not, but we'll see. And I'm still alive. I still have a chance to win back my $100. For my baseball bet with Chris Kamler. If the Royals win their next 12 games in a row, they're I can't remember. Did they lose last night? Did I see the final score? Did they win or lose last night?
The Royals, they won 6-3.
Boom, there you go. So if they win their next, they continue to win the rest of their games, they'll be 81-81, and I do not have to pay $100.
I think you're in serious trouble.
If I had to make a guess, I'd say yes, but hey, there's still a chance, and that's more than... At this point in the season, that's more than we could say about Royals teams of the past. So I got that going for me.
What sucks is they should have been better, but more about that later. Definitely tune right back into youtube.com/RoyalManReport later today. Of course, we've changed the show name, but I haven't changed to YouTube yet. So you can see the Kansas City Baseball Vault right here on youtube.com/RoyalManReport. And, of course, the home of the Echo Sports Report going forward as well. Let's get down and dirty about all the bad news, though. Let's start with the bad, and we'll end with the better. So we'll end, of course, with Mizzou and K-State, but we'll start off with the Chiefs. What are we going to do, Jeff? They're not looking good. Everybody's blaming everybody else, and no communication. What is the answer?
I think what we come to here is, first of all, I don't know that there is an answer. I mean, I think there's multiple answers. I think at this point there's multiple questions, but... Also, I think we're reaching the point with the Chiefs that we reached with the Royals long ago, and that is, it's not just about them being a bad football team. At this point, they're just a bad organization right now. You had last year, they had Scott Pioli and Todd Haley, and everything, every possible blame you could imagine was pushed onto Todd Haley, and they said, oh, it's his fault. They're disorganized. He won't let go of the offense. He wants to have too much control. He's a maniac. He's micromanaging all the coordinators. Everything's going bad. It's all his fault. That's why we're firing him midseason, which I think the Chiefs had only done one other time in their history. And that we were led to believe that I wrote my article on 610 about this, actually, that we were led to believe that that was the reason, and that, you know, Romeo came on, and they looked like a better, different team those last three games. They went 2-1. He got the head coaching job. They were going to be more organized. They were going to be better prepared. They were going to be a better football team, and that's just not the case. And they look just as hapless, just as unprepared, just as unfocused as they did in their first few games last year. And the supposed reason for why they had those problems, is gone. So where's the disconnect there? Where's the actual problem? Is it Scott Pioli? I don't know. You know, I think he's one of the problems. I think his inability to change and his consumption of his own time and just focus on what people think about him and how they perceive his job and his organization has affected his ability to actually do his job. And it's something that Kim Babb wrote a lot about and spent a lot of time talking about, how Scott Pioli is too focused on what other people think and how other people think he's doing his job versus how he's actually doing his job. And I happen to agree. And, you know, I've heard that he is one of the most insecure people that you might ever meet. And it's a situation where he's not comfortable and is in his own skin. He's still learning how to be a true general manager. That is not what we signed up for. So it's going to be a long road back. I mean, maybe they go and they beat New Orleans by 20 and it looks, everything's looking, you know, like it's going to get back on track. But if I had to make a guess, you know, I originally predicted 10-6 for this team, and I think it's going to be a long season. And I think there's going to be a lot of soul searching that needs to be done after the season's over. And that just infuriates me at this point, but it's still early. So if they can turn it around, which they definitely have the talent to turn it around, if they can, then they still have plenty of time to do it. So there's, if there's a bright side, there's at least that.
Hey, Jeff, I think you left a Snickers wrapper in the hallway.
Oh, did I?
And if you don't mind that. If you don't get that joke, then you need to go back and read Kent Babb's article in the Star about the Chiefs and their analness about everything and everything that went with it. So, yeah, the Chiefs are definitely a mess. You know what I don't get, and I don't want to go too long on this, but you look at sports cities around America, and you have the New Yorks that will probably always have some sort of success because they have to. I mean, they're the biggest TV market. One way or another, sports are going to find a way to make, you know, leagues are going to find a way to make those teams successful if they're not on their own. Or they're going to build them up in a way that, you know, they're the underdog. Look at when Jeremy Lin got hot for the Knicks. It was all about the Knicks because that's what the NBA needs. You look around football, you have your New Yorks, your LAs, those places that are major markets, and they matter to the leagues. But then you have places like Pittsburgh, who's until this year have had crappy baseball for a long time, but they've always had the Steelers, and the Steelers are pretty awesome. You know, so they always had that. And you look at Chicago, and
don't, the forget, of, don't forget the Penguins, who have won three championships in the last 20 years, so...
And have one of the greatest hockey players of all time as an owner. So it's easy to look to that as a great thing for Pittsburgh. You look at Cleveland, they've always been kind of bad at everything, but at least the Indians had a moment and the Browns had a moment and that's kind of been it in Cleveland. So they're kind of like Kansas City in that aspect. But, you know, most of these small markets, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, you name it, all these places that have had multiple sports teams that are considered mid to little market. Ooh, that came in really late. I don't know if you just heard that rim shot, but I was trying something new, and my computer's been lagging something fierce, and I pushed those back when I made the joke about the Snickers. So if those played through, that's going to make a lot more sense than if they didn't. And there's another one. Anyway, so we might have some random sound effects coming in here because I was testing out some stuff, and it's not working like it's supposed to. Anyway, so you've got these mid-market, small-market teams, and then there's Kansas City. And we have just – Kansas City as a city, as fan base, we have been abused and used here so bad. We've had the 1-10-6 season from the Chiefs, but outside of that, in the last 25 years, it's not been a whole lot of anything. A few good years from the Chiefs, a miracle from the Royals here and there, but I mean – how many years has it been now since the Chiefs won a playoff game? I was trying to think the other day.
It's almost been 20. It was 1993.
Yeah, I was going to say 16, and I didn't think that was long enough.
93 season, but it was 1994 because the last game that they won was the Joe Montana. I believe they beat the Steelers to go to the AFC Championship game in 94. Like I said, 93 season, but 94 was when the actual game was played. So it's been 18 years since they won a playoff game. And I believe now that has Pittsburgh officially, have they clinched a playoff spot, or is that still?
They're still up in the air, but Cincinnati has officially clinched another playoff spot. Yeah. And, you know, same market as Kansas City. You can't tell me Cincinnati's got a whole lot more money coming into that city other than better negotiated TV contracts and that kind of stuff. But that's
I asked about Pittsburgh because if they make the playoffs this year, then that will make – or maybe it was the Reds doing it. I've been hearing this stat a lot, but the Royals at some point will be the – have the longest gap of any major sports team in the four major sports of making the playoffs.
It's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen. As fans, at what point do we say enough's enough? I mean, you kind of look out at the K, and if it's not Buck Night or a giveaway, there's literally 8,000 to 9,000 people out there. There's 8,000 to 9,000 people through the turnstiles. What does it take for the Chiefs to stop filling Arrowhead to get 15,000, 20,000 in Arrowhead for a football game?
I mean, it's going to take a lot, and for us, the unfortunate, us as fans, I mean, the unfortunate reality is that we're in a time where especially with the Chiefs in football. Football is just such a huge machine right now. I mean, they just print money in the NFL, and you don't have to be good. You can be terrible, and you're still going to make $50 million a year just because of the TV contracts, the national TV contracts, all the merchandise. I mean, people love football so much in this country, it's really hard to lose money at it at this point. You know, 10 years ago, it might have been different. 10 years from now, it might be different. But right now, it's just continues to just make money and money and money. And
We'll keep on going. So I think that pretty well covers the Chiefs. We'll go ahead and move on here. You want to talk about your boys there in Lawrence at all, Jeff?
Not particularly, but I suppose I will. I mean, last week I wasn't able to watch the whole game. Just caught small pieces of it, actually, if any, now that I think about it. But, I guess you could – if you're Kansas, you have to play the kind of moral victory card, and that after coming off a loss to Rice and playing TCU, who is supposed to be one of the better teams in the Big 12 this year, at least in the top half of the Big 12, you look at that and say, hey, we only lost 20-6, and, I mean – a two-touchdown loss usually doesn't equate to a moral victory, but if you're Kansas, it does. So, I mean, I guess there's that, even though from what I heard about people who watched the whole game and everything, it, you know, they were just – KU was pretty fortunate to get out of there with as little – you know, as little of a – or as less of a loss as possible. So, I mean, but if you're Kansas and you play pretty good or, you know – better than most people probably thought against TCU. You can come out this week and you can do something similar and be competitive and you keep rolling, you know, then eventually by the end of the season, if they get that confidence up, they're going to win a game that they're not supposed to. And I mean, you see it happen all the time. You know, before Vanderbilt actually became a legitimate program, you actually saw them have some of those seasons like that in the past where, you know, maybe they'd only win four games, but they'd beat somebody they weren't supposed to. And, so, you know, maybe Kansas can be that team. I still don't know how much faith I have in Charlie Weiss. I never really liked the hire to begin with. I mean, he seems to be doing decently well in the recruiting and everything. It's just it's just a bad situation down there in Lawrence. There's not much positive to say. Hopefully they can turn some things around, but it absolutely remains to be seen. I don't necessarily have faith that they can do it, but I know it can be done. Mangino obviously did, so... So, you know, they can have some positive things happen. I just don't know if these are the right people to get to it. And, I mean, they're in a bad spot. So, hopefully they can get things turned around and it won't be as bad of a season as it was last year.
Well, it was funny to listen to the KU broadcast at the end of the game last week. Klingler and all of them were trying to sell it, definitely, as you're saying, you know, moral victory. Hoorah, rah, it's a perfect example of a Kansas City team right there. You know, yes, Lawrence, an hour away from Kansas City, but definitely part of the Kansas City metroplex as far as sports are concerned, along with Columbia. And what a mess. What a mess there in Lawrence. It's still a ways from coming back, but, you know, they'll probably shock some people and do something like beat Texas and beat K-State and beat Mizzou. No, wait, they won't beat Mizzou because they refuse to play them. How about that? But I can see him shocking somebody along the way. Maybe K-State wins today against Oklahoma and then somehow at the end of the year, K-State gets rolled by KU or something.
K-State came into the end of the season undefeated and they in line for the national championship and they lose to Kansas in the last game of the year. I mean, that would be Bill Snyder's luck for sure.
Let's go ahead and fully switch gears to K-State, which Bill Snyder is absolutely one of my favorite college football coaches of all time. You can't take anything away from what he's done with that program. I mean, you just look at what it's done in between him, before him, and what it'll probably do after him unless they actually do get a good coach this time. But Bill Snyder has paved the way for K-State, and he, you know, as a Nebraska fan, he kept us on in the edge of our chairs the entire time he was there. The guy doesn't want to play Miami the last 2 years, beats them both years. You know, now here he is, undefeated. The team is actually getting legitimate talk nationally. They're nationally ranked. they're playing an Oklahoma game that they have to win. I mean, every game in college football is must win. Even next year when they start the 14 playoff, it still makes a must win unless you're in the SEC, because, you know, then you get two chances because you're in the SEC. And SEC fans, I'm not ragging on your conference. It's really that good. That's what I'm saying. Stay with me here. But, you know, everything with them, with K-State, it's just been so incredible the last couple of years, from, you know, being a win against Nebraska away from being in bowl contention and winning the Big 12 North, to last year where they had a phenomenal year, you know, one of the best years in their history. And then this year they have a chance to do something really special. And I think they're playing even ahead of people like Curtis Kitchen, who's a big fan of theirs, may have even thought they were going to be. But today's the game, man. If they can beat Oklahoma today, then everything else is a lot easier from here on out.
No, I completely agree. And to your first point where you said Bill Snyder is one of your favorite college coaches, I actually had the pleasure of meeting Bill Snyder in person when I was in college at a conference for one of the organizations I was in college. And, I mean, you never met just a more awesome guy. You know, he was – obviously his ability as a coach to turn around that program not only once but twice now has just been phenomenal. But, I mean, the guy was just amazing to talk to, really great guy. And, he has to be – you know, he doesn't have the national championships yet, and I'm not saying they're going to win one this year, but it's still possible at this point. So, but he doesn't have any national championships, and, you know, he's got a Big 12 championship. But, I mean, I have to honestly say – you have to put him in the conversation for one of the best coaches of all time to be in college. I mean, you know, Nick Saban is going to go down as one of the best coaches probably ever, but you're going to look at him and say, well, his best years were when he was with LSU and Alabama, two of the most storied programs in history. You know, you look at people like Woody Hayes coached at Ohio State his entire time, and, you know, you had Tom Osborne coach in Nebraska for all those years, and I guess I don't know enough about those programs to know if maybe they were awful before those people got there and they turned them around. But, I mean, I don't know of any coach, I can't think of any coach that has taken a team as bad as K-State was. I mean, I remember hearing a story from Bill Snyder saying when he first showed up, he talked to all the seniors and he put them all in a room, and he realized at that point, not a single one of those players had ever won a football game at Kansas State. Seniors, all 4 years, they didn't win a game. And it's like, it's just amazing how quickly he turned that around and how well he turned that program into just one of the prominent programs at its peak in the late 90s, one of the prominent programs in the country. And then now it's got to be up there. You know, he probably doesn't have the longevity now that he did back then. So who knows what will happen 5 years, but... Yeah, I mean, right now, if they beat Oklahoma, they're a legitimate national title contender. Colin Klein has got – if they beat Oklahoma, Colin Klein's going to have a good game, and he's going to be a front runner, if not the front runner, for the Heisman Trophy. And they're going to start getting a lot of national publicity. And honestly, I mean, from there, after beating Oklahoma, K-State's road, they've got Texas, who they've dominated, you know, these last 5 years, is standing in their way. And then after that, it's West Virginia. And then I don't know about it, many other teams being that much of a threat to K-State. I mean, there's obviously Oklahoma State, I should say. Sorry, I should bring Oklahoma State into it. But so those three teams, but Oklahoma State starting a freshman quarterback, not who they were last year. Texas has been having problems the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, West Virginia still hasn't gone through the rigors of a full season in Big 12. So, you know, things could just kind of play out for K-State for this to really be their year. Who knows? You know, I'm not saying anything because, you know, they still don't have the talent of those frontline teams like an Alabama or a LSU or whatever, but they have Bill Snyder and none of those other teams do. So you never know.
And for me, that says it all right there. And you're talking about Saban. I didn't want to cut you off on this, but the difference that'll be between Saban and Snyder is Snyder has done it crystal clean. They have never, ever seen anything against Snyder that could in any way, you know, tarnish his legacy, either the first time or the second time. So,
yeah, I agree as far as, like, sanctions and stuff like that, but Bill Snyder's not immune to a couple bad decisions either. I mean, I remember some pretty bad stuff happening with L. Roberson back in the early 2000s and things like that. He had a couple players that, you know, weren't exactly first-class citizens. So he's not, you know, an angel and perfectly clean or whatever, but he's not, he doesn't have that kind of a reputation of like a Calipari in basketball or even a Saban. So to that regard, yes, but he's not been perfect, I'll say.
He's been about as clean as you can expect in a coach in this day and age. Finally, Mizzou, you know, I have a lot of Mizzou friends. I like to give them a hard time because, boy, they're touchy folks. I love Mizzou fans because they get really bent out of shape really easy. And I'm super rooting for Mizzou today because I cannot stand Steve Spurrier. He's a crybaby. If we used harsh language on this show, I could say something a lot steeper than that. Because he's just, you know what, he's just a little bitch. That's what he is. And this goes back to when Nebraska beat his team in the national championship, and he said Nebraska was running up the score, and it was 1-2, and that guy is notorious for running up scores, and he's crying a river that Nebraska ran up the score on him because they couldn't figure out how to tackle a quarterback from Nebraska. And so I can't stand Steve Spurrier. I haven't in years. So go Mizzou, whatever it is they say. Hoorah, Mizzou. I hope that they can take care of South Carolina today. Had some troubles with Georgia. Didn't look good in the second half of that game, honestly. Had some troubles last week, but pulled it off in the end. Showed some real heart to stick it out at the end. Does Mizzou have enough to win this week with that starting quarterback back, from what I understand? Can they beat South Carolina?
I don't think so. I don't know that it's going to be like the Georgia game was. But if you remember on this show, you know, I said I think Mizzou and those SEC teams, with the exception of LSU and Alabama, all those other teams like your Georgia and your South Carolinas and teams like that, I think your top-level talent at Mizzou, your top 15, 20 players, are pretty close to the top 15 at Georgia or South Carolina. But how big of a difference is that from 20 to 85? How big of a difference does that make, that depth that the SEC is known for? And you start to see that depth in the second half and the fourth quarter, things like that. That's when Georgia really took over that game. And that's what, you know, the further along MU goes into the SEC, they're going to be able to increase that depth just because that's the nature of that conference. If they're going to have success, well, they're going to have to if they're going to be successful. But I think that's going to kind of be the story again. You know, I think MU is going to stick with them. I mean, South Carolina's quarterback situation is tenuous right now. I believe their quarterback's battling a lot of injuries. You know, you never know what to expect with Steve Spurrier. Now, they have a legitimate running back who, his name, I'm drawing a blank. His name is escaping me at the moment.
For South Carolina?
Yeah. And their front seven on defense, too, is probably one of the better ones in the country. And Mizzou's going to be overmatched in the front seven on their offensive line. It's not quite going to be there yet. And, you know, in a couple of years when they can kind of access some of those SEC recruiting pipelines, it's going to be a little bit better. And they'll be able to compete with those front lines, but right now it's just not really happening at this point. So, you know, hopefully for MU fans' sake, they can pull off a win. Sure, I believe South Carolina is still a top 10 team, so that'd be a huge win for MU. But, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens. Hold on, I'm trying to pull up the name. Marcus Lattimore, that's the guy's name. He is the running back for South Carolina, and he is a legitimate running back. So if MU can stop him and their quarterback issues that South Carolina is having, maybe MU can pull one off. You know, some things fall their way, but it's going to be tough.
And, of course, it's the battle for Columbia, as both teams from a Columbia, Missouri versus Columbia, South Carolina. This one, of course, going on in South Carolina. And South Carolina's Columbia was throwing blows, saying how much better it was than Columbia, Missouri. And you know what? I've never claimed to be a Tigers fan. I'll never claim to be a KU fan. But I'll tell you, I do like Columbia a little bit better than Lawrence as far as towns go. And I think Columbia, South Carolina has a long ways to go to be as homey as Columbia, Missouri is. I really do enjoy the city of Columbia. So hopefully the good Columbia, the one in Missouri, can bring this victory here. Steve Spurrier said Connor Shaw was okay to start for the Gamecocks, who are 3-0 and of course 1-0 in the SEC. And as you were talking about, that was the question: was are the quarterbacks going to be ready to go? Missouri's quarterback James Franklin sat last week with inflammation in his shoulder, but he's 90% to go in their first ever SEC road game, which is one that the Tigers need to win. Frankly, they really need to come out firing here and set themselves up, because there's a good chance this year that both the Tigers and A&M could come out looking real bad in the SEC this year, and I don't think that's really good for anybody. There's no easy weeks in the SEC. There's no easy weeks in the Big 12. However, there is easy weeks in the next one we're going to talk about, and that's the Big 10. Nebraska has lost a game to UCLA because Rex Burkhead was out, and everybody's like, oh, Nebraska can beat UCLA without Burkhead. No big deal. They were wrong. So Nebraska has a couple of cupcakes this week and last week, so we're not going to talk much about that game, because if Nebraska doesn't roll today and Taylor Martinez continues to look like a real quarterback, they've got real trouble. But this team lives and dies on Taylor Martinez. And you want to know why Nebraska fans were so upset, why Bubba Starling signed that multi-million-dollar contract to come play at the Royals, is because they're tired of seeing Taylor Martinez out there. That guy is not a quarterback built for the long term. He's not a national champion quarterback, and he may not even be a quarterback to win a down Big Ten. And the Big Ten is probably – and my lifetime has probably not been as bad as it is this year. Between sanctions and just horrible teams, Michigan State got made to look foolish by Notre Dame, and same thing could happen to Michigan. It's not good. Do you see any hope for the Big Ten as a whole this year to really produce a top-tier team?
Not really. I mean, if I had to make a guess before the beginning of the season, I thought Michigan was overrated. I thought Michigan State, I mean, their defense is legit. So if there's going to be a team that has a chance to step up there, it's them. Honestly, I don't follow the Big Ten super closely, but I do know that Michigan State obviously has a really good defense. And if they were to get their offense in order, they could be a team to reckon with. You know, Urban Meyer, I mean, just the fact that the guy has had success absolutely wherever he's gone makes you think that maybe even if it doesn't happen this year, then next year Ohio State's going to be a team to reckon with. But, I mean, at this point this year, I don't know how much hope they have. I'd say it's pretty slim. You know, you look at all the other conferences, you can see you've got your LSU, Alabama's, you've got your West Virginia, Oklahoma, K-States, you've got your other teams that you look at and say, hey, these teams, if things fall right, could compete for the national championship. But I don't know how many teams you can say that in the Big 12, in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough year for them. But great weekend of sports coming up. All teams are in action this week. Nobody's on bye, so it's a great weekend if you're a fan of what here at the ESR considers the local teams of Nebraska, Missouri, K-State, KU, and, of course, the Chiefs. And, you know, it's going to be an exciting weekend. A lot of big games this weekend for a lot of different reasons. K-State, Oklahoma, definitely the marquee game. But that Missouri SC game is a big game for them. Of course, the Chiefs got to get back in line this week. Anything else you want to add today, Jeff?
No, just you pretty much summed it up as far as a lot of interesting games in college with MU and South Carolina and then K-State and Oklahoma. But, yeah, I mean, if the Chiefs want to save their season, it has to start Sunday, because if they can't make some noise against New Orleans, it's not getting any easier, because they're coming home and they're playing San Diego, who's playing real hot right now. Then they have Baltimore in the next week. So if they don't win this game against New Orleans, 0-5 is a real possibility. 1-4 is a possibility, even if they do win. But that seems a little bit better, at least, than 0-5. So it could get real rocky real fast if they don't try and turn things around this week. So it's a big game. This might be one of the biggest games of the season for the Chiefs, if not the biggest.
Well, definitely, as always, check out all of the work at Echo Network. That's ekohnetwork.com. A lot of great articles coming up at Echo. And, of course, that's the home for all of us. And, obviously, the Kansas City Baseball Vault also shares a home with the Kings of Kauffman. We love those guys. Mike Engel and company, we're getting ready to do that show. So always join us every week. We try to do it live when we can. It's not going to be an every week thing. But follow us on Twitter, The Jeff Report, Casey Royalman, Echo Network. Follow those accounts. We'll let you know if we're not going to be live or something. But there are some times that we'll have, we're going to try to mix in some interviews for you, and those won't, right now we're unable to do those live. So, but definitely check us out online, youtube.com/Royalman Report. We will have this show live whenever we can, along with the Kansas City Baseball Vault, and you'll find it right there in the featured logo. So until next week, for Jeffer, I'm Troy Olson. This has been the Echo Sports Report. We'll catch you next week.